Here's the thing. If you have an $8,000 credit card debt and you're paying 18% on that, making minimal payments, do you know how long it'll take you to pay that off?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. It's great to be with you once again on the air. You know, I was thinking about the fact that there are so many talented, gifted people that are listening to my voice right now that are wondering, God, where do you want me to serve? Maybe you're one of those individuals that has gotten caught up into your job, but are doing very little for the kingdom of God and can't quite seem to find the place that you fit in. Well, if you're looking for a place to serve, I have a great opportunity for you. In 1995, seeing some of the great needs around Chicago, especially among youth, myself and a core of people started what we call now New Life Centers. New Life Centers is dedicated to showing the love of Jesus Christ in practical ways in some of the most underserved neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. We primarily work with youth, many of them gang-involved youth, providing mentoring, helping them understand that there's another life that they can engage in. We're always looking for mentors, people that are willing to say, I will set aside a day or two and just spend time with the youth that's troubled. So if you're interested in helping out with youth, whether it's helping them do their homework or whether it's helping just spend some time with them, play some basketball with them, take them out to eat, get involved in their lives, then we have a place for you in New Life Centers. And if you would go to our website at nlcenters.org, you'll find information there where you can ask, hey, I'd like to volunteer. I'd like to help out a troubled youth and make a difference. So if you're looking to utilize your gifting and have some spare time, I would challenge you to go to your website and look at New Life Centers to help mentor a youth that may need some help that you can provide. God bless you, and let's get ready for today's message.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us again on Straight Talk. We're glad to have you with us. Pastor Mark starts a brand new series today called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. And today is part one, Beyond Survival Living. Let's get right into the message. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
Thrive. I love the word thrive. I looked it up in the dictionary. Webster's Dictionary defines the word thrive to prosper or flourish, be successful, especially as a result of economical management, to grow vigorously or to improve. Thrive. And if you've noticed our graphic there, you see a bush that's in the middle of the desert, and in spite of its surrounding, it's thriving. Some of you are in family situations where you should be withering, but by God's grace, you're going to thrive. Some of you are in job situations that could knock the life out of anybody and kill anybody's joy. But in spite of that, we're praying that you thrive in that area. Some of you are in financial situations that seem pretty tough. And some would call it bleak. But in spite of that, we're praying that there would be rain upon you, and that you would have the nourishment of God in whatever desert you're at, that you're going to thrive. Amen? Tell someone beside you, we want you to thrive. Go ahead. We want you to thrive. That's my prayer for you, for this congregation, that you thrive. What I started to do a few years back is I made a commitment that towards the beginning of every year that I was going to make sure that at our church and throughout our different locations that we taught people about finances. Because I've discovered over the years that finances are one of the areas that is a major concern to most families and singles, and an area that many of us blow it and an area that many of us struggle. In fact, I've told you this before, but the number one cause of arguments in marriages has to do with finances. And I'm not going to ask to take a survey, but if you're married here today and you've been married for a while, think about it. What are the top three things we argue over? And I would venture to say that making the top three, one of them would be finances, the way you manage, the way you save. And by the way, opposites usually attract, right? So if you're a saver, chances are you're married to a spender. And if you're a spender, chances are you're married to someone that's a little bit more a saver. And so one of you saying, hey, life is short, enjoy it. So I bought this big plasma that cost me $3,000. I thought the kids would love it. Really, you just want to watch sports on it, but you throw the kids in because you know she's got a soft spot for the kids. And honey, I didn't consult you because I wanted to surprise you. And sometimes there's that tension in the family about who does the budget and who spends and how much we should spend on this and how many accounts we should have and so forth. But it affects us all in many areas of life. And I determined a few years ago that towards the beginning of every year that I would teach at least some on finances just to get us going in the right direction because it's such a needed topic to talk about. And there's three reasons that I talk about finances and teach you about it. Number one is because God has a lot to say about finances. Some of you believe that the Bible doesn't say much about money and finances and accounting. But really, if you read through Scripture carefully, you will discover, for example, that the Bible has 40 verses on baptism. 40 verses on baptism. If you read through the Bible carefully and count them, you'll also discover that there's 275 verses on prayer. Prayer also happens to be very important. It's the way we communicate with God. It's the way that we connect with God. And so we are to pray continually, and it's a huge topic in Scripture. You'll discover if you count carefully that there's 350 verses on faith. Every good thing that comes from heaven comes via faith. So faith, your salvation, healing, deliverance, answers to prayer, they all come via faith. And so that's a huge topic. And how could we leave out love? There's 650 verses in the Bible that talk about love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another." So it is an important topic. But by far, more than verses on love and baptism and faith and prayer and baptism all combined, do you realize that verses about finances and material possession, that there's literally 2,350 verses in the Bible that talk about finances, money, and material possessions. So therefore, if God talks a lot about it, obviously, He talks a lot about it because it is something that's important to Him, because it's important to you and how it affects your life. God has a lot to say about the economics and about finances. I also talk about finances because your finances can help literally make or break your life. Besides it being a major contributor to marital stress and one of the top reasons for divorce, we've also discovered over the years probably over the last 5 years, that the great majority of households in America have a credit card debt of about $8,000, maybe $8,500 per household. Now, some of you are saying, "Well, I'm paying it off, Pastor, one payment at a time." Here's the thing. If you have an $8,000 credit card debt and you're paying 18% on that, making minimal payments, do you know how long it'll take you to pay that off? You say a long time. No, 54 years. 54 years. So some of you will be done with your payment by the time you're 83. You'll say, "Yeah, finally, we got it." 54 years later. It's going to take a long time if you're just making a minimal payment. And some of you don't realize that you'll end up paying in interest more than what your principal was if you don't get a handle on it. And of course, I don't even have to say that apart from the regular teaching on finances, that we live in some extraordinary times, don't we? Our national debt is in the hundreds of trillions of dollars out there. And so it's important that you, as an individual, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you understand what God has to say about this area of finances. And then thirdly, I think it's important to teach about finances because money is a force that can be used for good, or it can also cause great damage. You see, there's a lot of misunderstanding about finances. Some people think that the Bible teaches that money is evil. In fact, some people quote it. They say, well, doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? Wrong. The Bible never says that. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Not money itself. Money itself is neutral. Money is not good. Money's not bad. Money is merely a neutral force. It is how you channel that money that turns it into something that could be used for good or bad. With money, you can build temples of worship. You could feed the hungry. You could reach out to orphans. You could educate people. You could send missionaries throughout the world. With money, you can provide programs to help youth get out of gangs. With money, you can provide affordable housing. There's a lot of good that can be done with money. But with that same money, you can also buy drugs. You can open prostitution sites. With that same money, you can hire someone to kill your spouse. Of course, money can be used for all kinds of good and all kinds of evil. I like to compare money to a power, to like a force. A good illustration of that is electricity. Electricity is an interesting thing. It's a power that, if contained and channeled, can do incredible good, right? Right now, you hear my voice amplified because of electricity. The speakers and our sound system is empowered electrically. Right now, you don't have your coats on and you're not freezing cold because we have a heater system that runs both on gas and electricity. Right now, you're not reading in the dark because we don't have candles, because you have lights that are flowing and it's based on our electricity. At home, you can watch TV and power up your computer and listen to the radio and turn on your gas stove and have cold food because it runs on the power of electricity.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Beyond Survival, Living. It's from our brand new series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke chapter 16 with his message entitled Beyond Survival, Living.
That electricity is generated in various forms, but it's a power that's generated and runs through cables and is channeled at the right amperage and voltage to be able to empower equipment for the good. When it's channeled, it's a great source of good. But if it's unchanneled, if it's in the raw, in the brute, you don't want to be hit by it. You don't want to walk in a storm, in a thunderstorm, a lightning storm in the middle of a field when it's wet out there, because if you're hit by a bolt of electricity, it could end your life because it's unchanneled electricity. It's the same with money. Money has the power to do good and the power to do bad, but in of itself, money is merely neutral. It's a power, it's a force, but it's neutral. Some Christians have believed that money was something they needed to avoid. In the 6th and 7th century, there was some monastic movement, some monks that took vows of poverty. And they believed that money would entangle you into the world, so it was best to be free from all money. And so they would take vows of poverty and go around preaching only with the clothes that they had on their back, and they would live off of the charity of other people. There are still some orders right now that take vows of poverty. And they believe that poverty is more spiritual. On the other hand, you can turn on your television and see some flashy televangelist that is telling you that really, if you're spiritual, you're going to make a lot of money. One televangelist showed off his six Rolls Royce, and basically the message was, I'm spiritual, therefore God has blessed me. If you're as spiritual as I am, you may have these six Rolls Royce as well. And so the message is, the more spiritual you are, the wealthier you are. So we have this message on one side of people saying poverty is more spiritual, and on the other side, people saying wealth is more spiritual. And what's true? Neither is true. Because the quantity of money that you possess is not the issue. The issue is, what is your attitude, your thoughts towards money? And so this morning, I want to help you think rightly about your money. I want you to help you think. I believe the greatest asset to your financial health in the future is not your paycheck or your increase, but it's the way you think about money. So with that in mind, I want you to look at Luke chapter 16. Jesus is telling us a story. It's a parable. A parable is a story that illustrates a message. And Jesus is talking to some people in Luke chapter 16. His topic is finances and money. I'm not going to read the whole parable to you because I don't have time. I'm going to focus on the last three verses of the parable, verses 10 through 13. And let me summarize the beginning of the parable. Jesus tells a parable about a man that's a financial manager, in essence. He's working for a boss, and the boss has left him in charge of finances. The boss begins to look at this financial manager and realizes he's doing a lousy job. That he's not managing his finances well. So he says, I'm firing you. You're getting the pink slip today. You'll have a little time to clear out your stuff. And then I'm giving you 2-week notice. Basically, you're off the job. This steward, who's done a pretty bad job, panics. But he has an idea. He thinks to himself, before I leave the job, I'm going to make myself some friends. So he begins to call up all the people that owe his boss money. For example, if one guy owes $5,000 to his boss, he calls him up and says, how much do you owe? $5,000. He says, listen, pay me $2,500 and we'll call it even. Great. Well, thank you. Hey, don't worry about it. Just remember it. He calls up all the creditors. He gives him a 40, 30, 50% discount. And so he eliminates all this debt. As he's going out, he's making a lot of friends who owe his boss money. Then Jesus says this amazing statement. It seems a little bit perplexing. In fact, it seems like he shouldn't be saying this. And you have to understand the context. Jesus says in verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? Now, was Jesus commending dishonesty? No, not at all. He was not advocating dishonesty. He was not commending dishonesty. He was simply commending the fact that this man was taking advantage of opportunities and was thinking shrewdly about money management and how it affected his relationships. And then he looks at the disciples and he says, for the people of this world, the people of the world sometimes are smarter than the people of the light are. In other words, Jesus was saying, hey, sometimes the world is smarter in stewardship And in dealing with these kind of issues than the people of God, sometimes we miss the boat. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew, when he talks about be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. He's reminding his disciples in Matthew 16:10. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Listen, we need to be smart in the way we go about managing our finances and how our finances relate to relationships that we're involved in. We need to be smart about it. We need to think about it. Some of us spend our money and never think about it. Some of us don't have a plan. We don't have a budget. I say, what's your budget? I don't have a budget. Bills come in and I pay them. That's my master plan. I get a bill in the mail. I write out a check. That's my plan. Anything left over? Hey, I take the family out for some taquitos. You know, that's my master plan. You got a savings plan? Nope. You know, if I had more money, I'd have a savings plan. Got an investment plan? Nope. Don't have that either. If I had more money, I would. Hey, do you ever tithe and give? Well, you know, if there's anything left over, I give. Listen, you live, you manage your money without a plan. There's no system. There's no plan. There's no strategy. There's no thought of how it's going to go. And then you find yourself in difficult situations wondering why you got there, but yet you have managed your life without a plan. So Jesus talks to his disciples and he gives us some important, powerful principles about money and finances. Now let me read verse 10. So Jesus explains the parable that he's talking about. And in verse 10, he's describing the essence of the parable, the lessons of the parable. And he gives us three principles about money that you need to grasp. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? First principle, if you're taking notes, write this down. I call it the steward principle. The steward principle is found in verse 10, and it's simply this principle. What I do with little shows what I will do with more. Simple principle. Some of the greatest principles in life are the simple principles, right? The ones you can remember. What I do with little shows what I will do with more. Here's the concept. Many people spend their life saying, if I just had more money, then I would have a plan. But since I don't have enough money, I don't have a plan. Many people say, if I had more money, I would manage it differently. You see, if I had more money, I would have a savings account and begin to put money in savings for tough times. If I had more money, I would tithe to God and the kingdom and those things, and I would give to poor people and my family who needs. If I had more money, I would get out of debt and pay off my debt. If I had more money, I would manage it better. The steward principle cuts to the core of that lie. That is not true. What the stewardship principle indicates is whatever you're doing right now with your money is what you would do with your money if you had more of it. The percentages would change and the zeros would change, but the distribution of that money would not change. It would be the same. Whew. Hello? If you have no savings account now, and you're not used to putting anything into savings to save up, then if you had more money, you would not save either. Because you would have bought bigger toys that have bigger bills and bigger mortgages on and bigger payments on, and you would say, ah, I have to pay these so I don't have anything to save.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message called Beyond Survival Living. This is from his current series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.